And God tells Ezekiel to basically write that, you know, judgment's coming, and even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were in the city, God says, I won't spare the city for Noah, Daniel, and Job. I'll only spare Noah, Daniel, and Job. And I was preaching. I was waxing eloquent, you know, in Nigeria, preaching that, and I realized the people that were listening to me didn't know who Noah, Daniel, and Job were. And literally, and you can do this. You can't do this in America, but you can do this in Africa. I mean, I was like halfway through my message, and I just stopped. And I said, now, folks, that's the introduction. Now, you come next week, and we're going to talk about who is Noah and why did God choose him. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about Daniel and why God chose him, and, you know, and Job. Why did God choose Job? And, you know, because we have a knowledge of our Bible. And sometimes we need to just kind of get back. And I, you know, when I preach to the Nigerians and the Ghanaians, a lot of times they don't have whole Bibles, so I kind of stick into one passage of Scripture. And I sometimes write down a lot of other ones that I'll give them. But you know your Bible. But we're still sticking in one passage of Scripture. So this evening or this afternoon, take your Bible and turn to Matthew 25. Now I'm going to talk about stewardship, but I'm not talking about money. I think sometimes, you know, the idea that we think stewardship is only about our pocketbook. And stewardship is not about, you know, what you have in your pocket. Stewardship is about you. And you'll understand, we're gonna look at a familiar passage of Scripture. It's called the Parable of the Talents, but it's about stewardship. So Matthew 25, verse 14. The Bible says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, behold, he said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Now let me stop there. Let me just say, this is a story, and I'm going to give you 5 truths, again, like I do, you know, 5 truths that when you walk away, and the reason I preach like this is because I want you to walk away and chew on what the Bible said. And I want you to stay right here, because everything I'm going to talk about is right in this passage of Scripture. Now, the story, there are 5 truths that I want you to understand about stewardship. And again, stewardship is not about money. You'll understand that in the end. Stewardship is not about money. You know, it's well done, thou good and faithful steward, all right, servant. We are God's servants. We're stewards, and you'll understand that. Notice, number one, stewardship first is about recognition. Stewardship is about recognition. Now, we're not going to take time to go through and look at every, I want you to, something for you to chew on later, but in this story, you know, okay, like in verse 14, you know, look at verse 14 there where we started. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants. Now, you understand? There is a servant and there is a master. Stewardship is about recognition. Not only is it, you know, who you are and who he is, but stewardship also, notice what it says in verse 14. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his own goods. You know, we have this foolish idea. This is a foolish notion. Okay, how many of you believe the tithe is the Lord's? Raise your hand. Maybe, right? I got you. No, the tithe is the Lord's in the local church, but God owns everything else. Isn't that right? The 90% you have in your pocket still belongs to God, because the Bible says that the master gave them his own goods. That means what you give. All right, okay, now this is not a trick question. Who writes the checks in this church to, like, pay your electric bill? Okay, who? Debbie Jewell. Who's Debbie Jewell? All right, Debbie Jewell's not raising her hand, but everybody else is pointing at her. It's like she's trying to hide, and everybody's like, this is the one. Now, okay, Debbie, let me ask you a question. When the electric bill comes, and the pastor says, okay, it's the electric bill, you got to pay it. All right, the church voted, we got to pay the electric bill. All right, now, do you go in your office, and do you weep and cry because you got to write that check out? Now, I don't know, maybe you do. I don't know. Now, you know what? She's not weeping and crying because it's not her money. Do you understand that? She's a steward. Somebody else is giving her the purse. I mean, though she may write the checks, none of that money's hers. It's church money. And so the master says, okay, and the master in this case, basically the church budget, the master says, okay, Debbie, you're the treasurer. You got to write a check when the electric bill comes. If it's $200, you write a $200 check. If it's $400, you write a $400. If it's $550, you write. Now, we don't necessarily want to have to pay that, but we pay our bill. But see, our attitude is like, oh, we're going to weep and cry. God's telling me to give, you know, an offering. Oh, God, no, no. Wait a minute. It's not your money. You're not supposed to weep and cry over writing out the tithe check. Oh, Pastor, I'd tithe, but it just hurts me so. It's not your money. Quit being a thief. You're the treasurer. Isn't that what the Bible says? He gave unto them his own goods. Now, I hate to tell you this, but when you read that story, what happens to the guy who had the 5 talents? He increased it by 5. But did you ever ask yourself, where does the talents go? It goes back to the master. Do you understand that guy that got 5, he didn't get to keep 5. He said, here's 5. Because the guy who got 1, remember what he did? He buried it in the dirt. And then when the master came back, he said, now here, Lord, here's your talent. Take it back. Because everybody's basically working for that master. That's why what you have, it doesn't belong to you. Mom and dad, those children aren't yours. Right. Children are heritage of the Lord. You don't own them. They belong to God. See, we've got this all backward. We think, well, God gets the tithe and I get everything else. No, no, no. He's the master. That's why when you know, you get that little card and, you know, and the pastor, you know, he's giving you grace. Now, you can fill it out. If you knew this day was coming, you could fill it out today and put it in the offering this morning. You could put it in the offering this afternoon. But he said, maybe you need some little time. Take it home. You know what? Maybe you should take it home and say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to give out of your money? You're not supposed to weep and cry over this because it's not yours. That's what recognition is all about. I learned the truth about this in Africa. There's a man in Africa. His name was Sanya Dosumu. Now, Sanya Dosumu, I met him, I met him through the sword of the Lord. Sanya Dosumu was an older man, and he wanted a church. He was a Christian. He wanted a church in a city that I was nowhere near. And he contacted the sword of the Lord, and he said, I need a church. You know, send somebody to start a church in my city. Sword of the Lord didn't know who to call, so they called BIMI. They said, you got a missionary in Nigeria? And they said, yeah, we do. And they said, well, send him to this guy. This guy wants to start a church. So I didn't know if it was a scam artist. I had no idea. You know, I mean, you don't know. So I went to Lagos. I met Sanya Dosumu. I sat down with him, and he was dedicated. He was saved, and he wanted a church. You know what I told him? I said, I'm not coming to start a church here until you're ready to pastor it. Because I can't pastor another church that's, you know, 2 hours from me. Can't do it. So he got involved in our Bible Institute. He didn't need a whole bunch of time. We started a church in Lagos. And Sanya Dosumu, I mean, he's a funny man. Yo, Pastor Mark, I want you to come and preach. You know, and he's a go-getter. I mean, he started another church. Called me, Pastor Mark, I need you to come. I'm going to have you preach every service, opening service of every church I ever start. You know, he started several churches himself. You know, and I'm preaching. You know, I helped him start the church. And now he started several churches. Well, then I was home on furlough. came home on furlough in the late 90s, and I went back, and Linda and I finally went back after being here for a couple of months, went back to Nigeria, and there was kind of a buzz. There was a little bit of kind of gossiping among our churches about the independent Baptist churches, all about Sanya Dosunmu. And I'm like, what did he do? And it's like, well, it's not really what he did, it's who he is. Come to find out that Sanya Dosunmu, that I met dressed like you and me, I mean, maybe not the suits, dressed like you and me. Come to find out he's from a royal family. And his uncle was the king, the Olowu of the Owu kingdom. And Sanya Dosunmu, his uncle died, and they called Sanya Dosunmu to be the next king. He became king. And everybody was all, you know, I mean, what's going to happen? This guy was a pastor. So Sanya Dosunmu called me, and he said, Pastor Mark, he said, I'm still the same who I was. And I said, I believe that. And he said, I want you to help me. I'm going to start a church in the palace. I'm serious. He said, I'm going to start a church in the palace, and I want you there to preach the first service. I mean, I coveted this church. I coveted it. It's the only church I preached in where every chair was like a Lazy Boy recliner. I mean, I'm serious. Hard to preach. Air-conditioned carpet. But you know what? We've got a picture of it. It's in a palace. They have huge gates. And the governor of the state where the kingdom is located. The governor, when you get a new king, the governor tries to, you know, curry favor sort of with the king because he is a king. He's a king. And so the governor came into the palace and met with the king. And I mean, the governor gets on his knees and prostrates himself in front of the king. And he says, we want to do something for the palace. You know, normally what they do is they upgrade. They, you know, they put a new roof on a building or whatever, because the palace is not like one big palace like you think of Europe. It's got big walls around it, and there's several buildings, and it's a very nice palace. And so here's Sanya Dosunmu. You know, he's the Olowu of Owu. And the governor's there, and he says, I want to do something for the palace. And Sanya Dosunmu says, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to build me a granite pulpit. And I'm going to put the granite pulpit in the courtyard of my palace. So when the gates are open, everyone will see the granite pulpit. He wants granite because he knows that I'm not going to hit it. And the governor built a granite pulpit, commissioned a granite pulpit, and they put it in the courtyard. So when you open the gates of the palace, the Owu Palace, there's a granite pulpit right in the middle. And I preached that service, and in that service, Sanya Dosunmu, as the king, when he walked in, I mean, he understands that even as a king, he's a steward, because he understands the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So when he walked in that first service, he took off his royal robes. He did. Took off his robe because everybody was going to stand, you know, because protocol. And I was sitting on the front row with the governor. Linda was not sitting there because she was not allowed to sit there. But you understand, when he walked in, he purposely stopped and took off his robes. Took them off. And then he came forward and he said, when we're in this church, no one will bow to any king except God. He said, because he is the King of Kings. And Sanya Dosunmu, after I preached, the governor was there, and everybody wanted my complimentary card because I knew the king. We want to know the white guy because he's got, you know. And Sanya Dosunmu broke every protocol because after I preached from the normal pulpit, he came up and he put his arm around me. And he said, Pastor Mark is my pastor. And he said, I'm publicly telling everyone I'm going to donate 20 acres of land for Pastor Mark to build a church in the Owu kingdom. So 2 weeks later, we're going out to this piece of land in the bush. I mean, in the bush. We're out in the bush and we park. I'm in a taxi, a rented taxi, and the Owu is in a four-wheel Range Rover, you know, with a police escort. And I go out, I get out of the car, and Sanya Dosunmu, Pastor Dosunmu, I called him that. He said, Pastor Mark, the land is back there. And so one of the policemen came with me, and we walked back to the land. And when we got back there, there was about 8 or 9 guys, and they were farming cassava and bananas illegally because it's the Owu land. And we went out there, and I've got a police guy. who's escorting me? And you know, I've walked around. We parked back here, and I have been walking around, and now the guys are facing me over here. And our car is parked back there, and the guys come out, and they've got machetes, bush knives, big ones. And they're looking at me like, what are you doing here? And at that point, the policeman started backing up. You know, it's like, talk to the white man. You know? policeman's backing up. And, you know, and I'm one of those guys, I'm not intimidated. I know you don't start a fight with guys with bush knives, you know? So I'm talking with them, and I said, I'm not here to get on anybody's case. I said, I'm here looking at a piece of land that I'm going to build a church on. And there were no demarcation lines and everything. And the men came forward, you know, and they raised up their machetes. And, well, who said you get to get this land? And I said, I said, Pastor Dosumu told me that I'm going to get this land for a church. And they, you know, Pastor Dosumu meant nothing to them. And they said, who is this Pastor Dosumu? And I said, he's the Olowu of Owu. And I said, that's him standing right behind you. Because Pastor Dosumu had come up, but he's wearing his royal robes. And they turned around. Knives went down, and they prostrated themselves. I'm talking about push-up, face down in the dirt. But you know what? They recognized who they were. They recognized who he was. You see, now it wasn't religion. It was all about, I'm from the Owu kingdom, and he's my king. And whatever the king wants, and I was their buddy after that. I mean, I was their buddy. And it's so funny because one of the men ran to a village. I mean, he ran to the village and basically was telling them, the Olowu's here. He's here. And I mean, the people were coming out of the woodwork, literally. They were coming and they were kneeling in the road and they were bowing down. But you understand, he was their king. Well, that's what happens here. Stewardship is about recognition. Who are you? And who is he? We talk about we're servants, and sometimes we pat ourselves on the back and we want to be famous. And in reality, you and I are servants. Everything we have is because he gave it to us. Everything we are is because he gave it to us. Every advantage that you have. And I've talked to people, you know, we were talking about humility. Why did God allow you to be born in America? You understand? We know the verse, unto whom much is given, much is required. We have this idea that that's like $1 million. Well, you were born in the land that's got, we've got the most money. We're probably the most prosperous nation on the face of the earth. Everybody criticizes America, but we've got an illegal immigration problem because people want to come here. You know why? Because we're the best place to come. You understand? We have our faults, yes. But you understand, people still want to come here. Well, you know what? God allowed you to be born here. Unto whom much is given, much is required. And understand, we are who we are because God made us who we are. That's why you have to understand everything you and I have. So stewardship is about recognition. Number two, let's go back to the scripture. Look at verse 14 again, where we started. Called his own servants and delivered unto them his own goods. Stewardship is about receiving. Stewardship is about receiving. Every one of us has received something. Our problem is we're so used to, we think we deserve everything. We've received something. Stewardship is about receiving. Every one of us is, I mean, you have good health. Then why aren't you out soul winning? Why don't you come to church? You know, you and I have a good mind. Why aren't you teaching in Sunday school? Why aren't you teaching someplace? We talk about, you know, if there's not a ministry here in this church that you can get involved in, then start one that you can get involved in. There's all kinds of things that you can do. You know, not everybody, you know, sometimes God has a unique ministry for every individual. You know, maybe you just haven't found yours. You know, I'm involved in the prison ministry. That's one of the ministries that's near to my heart. Now, we started Sunday school. We have Vacation Bible School. We have soul winning. We changed the name of our soul winning. There's a Bible verse. We got T-shirts that have, you know, like the American Red Cross, you know, that big red cross in the circle. And we put on the back of our church, our shirts, you know, we are the search and rescue team from New Manna Baptist Church. Search and rescue. And that's biblical. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And we pray for disasters. We pray for a flood, man, so we can put our t-shirts on and go out there. Yeah, we're from New Manna Baptist Church, search and rescue. You know, and we preach the gospel. Hey, whatever works, man, we're search and rescue. We started that. We just, whatever. We started, you know, we help motherless, you know, we call them, you know, here you call them orphanages, motherless babies' homes. You know, we go into prisons, you know, and we just, whatever we can do. And you got to find the niche that you fit in. You know, I love Vacation Bible School. I mean, the first time I ever did Vacation Bible School, and I'm an intelligent man. I'm well-educated. My father would say you're educated beyond your intelligence. All right? I have the degrees. But the first time I did Vacation Bible School, Ron Royalty called me. You know, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to be writing curriculum for Vacation Bible School because I'm Pastor Mark and I can do this. And he called me in his office. He said, I need a Vacation Bible School policeman. And he said, I got you a 23-inch tricycle. I got you a little plastic blue helmet, and you're going to ride up and down the hall. We had a building kind of like this where it had a gymnasium. He said, you're going to ride the tricycle up and down the hall, making sure kids are in the right class. He said, did you do that? You humble your... Yeah, but I took it. I went up a little step. I contacted him. I got my brother-in-law. He's an electronics guy. And I said, I want a police whooper siren from a police car, a real one. And so he fixed it up. I mean, he got a police siren. He put a battery on the back of that tricycle. We strapped it down. Monday morning, Vacation Bible School, I put my blue hat on. I brought the tricycle in, and I turned the whooper siren on. And Ron Royalty said, never again, you know? And from that moment on, I was writing curriculum, all right? You know, but hey, Vacation Bible School, lose yourself. Work with the teenagers. You know, work with the kids. Find something to do. Because every one of us, we've received something. Stewardship is about receiving. These stewards came and the master said, okay, here, I'm giving you five. I'm giving you two. I'm giving you one. And the gifts, what you get from God is based on what he knows about you. You know, the guy that got five, when he came back with five, the guy that got two, and he came back with two more, Jesus didn't criticize either of them. He said, this is based on your several abilities. That's why you don't look at somebody else and say, I want to be like Pastor Whitman. Don't be like Pastor Whitman. You be the person you're supposed to be. And God will get glory from your life. That's why, you know, I mean, Linda is fearless with soul winning. She is. She's fearless with soul winning. You know, and we're in a culture where women are supposed to basically take a back seat. So she's like trying to figure out, well, how am I going to teach the ladies soul winning when they're basically supposed to be, you know, low key? So she taught them how to go soul winning. Just ignore everybody around. If God wants you to go soul winning, you find somebody and you go. And she took Kate Cusijohn. And she took Kate soul winning, and Kate went into a mechanics shop, a shade tree mechanic shop. There were five mechanics working, and Linda became the bulldog to keep everybody away. And Kate went in there and won five men to the Lord, had them sit down, and she basically preached to them. It's soul winning. We call it soul winning. It's not preaching, soul winning. You understand? And Kate is still a soul winner today. Now, that's who Linda is. I'm not going to change that. Linda is a mechanic. I'm not going to change that. In Nigeria, we started a Volkswagen ministry. Not like a bus ministry. We started a Volkswagen ministry. We would buy old Volkswagen Beetles. She would rebuild engines. We'd hire somebody to do panel beating. I mean, they're panel beating. I mean, they take the car, literally, I'm serious. They take the car, put a blanket on the ground, pick it up, turn it on its side, and pound out the dents. We bought five cars. We could buy a car for $750 and spend another maybe $750. So for $1,500, we could give a Volkswagen Beetle car to a national pastor for his church. And you and I, it's a Volkswagen Beetle car. Pastor Amos Dada, first Sunday, he got his Volkswagen Beetle car. He brought 14 people in it. 14! There was no prize given for jamming people. But you understand? And then Linda would, Pastor Amos, you know, he'd wreck a, you know, a shock absorber, whatever. And every Thursday at our Bible Institute, we'd have the pastors who had cars. They would bring them back to the Bible Institute, and she would teach a class on auto mechanics. That's who she is. That's who she is. You understand? I can't change that. Because that's the gift God gave her. Find out what God gave you and use it. My goodness, God's made us what we are. Let's use it for God's glory. So stewardship is about recognition. Stewardship is about receiving. Number three, stewardship is about responsibility. Verse 20, we looked at verse 24, 25, 26, and 27, where the man who got one talent, he took that one talent and he buried it in the ground. And Jesus said, you should have taken it. Or the master said, you should have at least taken it to the bank and let me get interest on it. In other words, when you've got something from God, you are responsible for that. That's why if God gives you money, you're responsible for it. God gives you time, as we mentioned this morning, you're responsible for it. Mom and dad, God gives you children, you're responsible for them. That means you got to train up a child. It's not the pastor's responsibility. It's not the youth group's responsibility. It's not the public school's responsibility. It's your responsibility, my responsibility as parents to raise those kids. God gave them to us. He didn't give them to the state. He didn't give them to the church. As much as I love the church and I want all the programs, I want my kids in a good space. You understand? I tell my kids, okay, I have a part. I'm a grandfather, but God didn't give me those grandkids. God gave those 12 little boys and girls to my sons. And so I'm still preaching to my sons. Now, my grandkids know Grandpa's different. They know that. They know they come to Grandma and Grandpa's house. There is no timeout corner. We have wooden spoons. And it's so funny. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not preaching now. I'm telling you the truth. Our son Matthew and his wife, Erin, were at our house. And we met him at the airport not yesterday, but a week ago Saturday. And we found out Linda's brother-in-law passed away, so we were with them basically Saturday night, Sunday, Monday, and then Tuesday we left to go to Minnesota. And we came back on Thursday, and Erin and Matthew and their kids had gone, but Erin had gotten the spoon out. She had gotten the spoon out. And Linda's like, I wonder which one of our grandkids got it. Because we just tell them up front, there's no timeout corner here. There's obedience and there's disobedience. And I have a lot of grace, but it's very short. But you understand? Responsibility. So you and I have a responsibility. Husbands, you have a responsibility. Do you understand that? God gave you a wife. You've got a responsibility. It scares me about judgment. You know, I think we've got this idea that judgment's going to be, you know, I'll tell you what judgment's going to be like. We're not talking about a great white throne. We're talking about the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. I think we're all going to be seated in a room like this. And the angel's going to come out and say, okay, judgment time. Okay, we want all the husbands to stand up. You know, so if you're a husband, you're going to stand up and the wives are like, get him, Mr. Buzzard, he deserves it. So the men file out. You know, and the women are like, I hope he gets it. My husband sure deserves it, you know. And we come back, the sweat's been pouring down, armpit sweat. You know, we sit back down. An angel comes out, say, okay, all the husbands have been taken care of. All right, okay, all the fathers stand up. And the father's like, good Lord, couldn't we just do this? And the kids are the teenagers like, get him. He didn't increase my allowance. Get him, Lord. And then so there are some of us that are going to go to God like several times because we're husbands and we're fathers. By the way, ladies, your turn's coming. But you understand, it's going to filter all the way down. Anybody that's a pastor, anybody that's a deacon, anybody that has a ministry in the church, and then it's going to come all the way down to church members. What kind of a church member are you? Because stewardship is about responsibility. Because that one who had the one talent, he took his and he buried it. And he's the one that got called out by God. He's the one that the master said, you're wicked. You did nothing with what I gave you. Nothing. You know, but he was like, oh, I didn't lose anything. Here's what, you know, and can you imagine? I mean, the audacity of that guy to turn around and look at his master and say, I knew you were a hard man. I knew you were a hard man. Well, sometimes we're hard because that's what God wants us to be. Number four. Number four. Again, I like this word. This is a word. Look at verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So stewardship is about recognition, receiving, responsibility. But number four, stewardship is about reckoning. In other words, there is going to be an accounting. Reckoning is an accountant's term. It's basically the books are going to be balanced. That's what the reckoning is all about. And you don't have to reckon with the pastor. You don't have to reckon with him because he's not your master. See, I don't have to reckon with my pastor. Dr. Mike Holloway is a good man, but you understand, I'm not going to have to reckon with him because he's not my master. He's my pastor, and he may be a master pastor, but he's not the master that I answer to. You understand? I'm going to give an account to God. That's what the Bema seat's all about. So there is going to be a reckoning. And that means every part of the stewardship in your life, if you're a husband, all right, you know, how are you loving your wife? Husbands, love your wife. Wife, you know, what are your responsibilities? You better know, because that's what you're going to answer for. Young people, all right, and how many of you are children in this room? Raise your hand. Everybody better raise your hand because we're all kids. And we're going to give an account, all right? I mean, I'm going to give an account of what kind of a child I was. All right, now, I don't know how old you are, but you look maybe a little older than me. But you understand, my mother was, when she passed away, was 87 years old. Now, you understand? She was 87 years old. I'm in my 60s. I'm still a child. How did I treat my mother? When she was my mother, like, okay, when you know, some of you women have young children. I've seen the small children. How did you treat your mother? When you're teenagers, how do you treat your mother? When you're an adult, how did you treat your mother? When she's an older person and you're older, how did you treat? You know what? We're going to give an account. There's a reckoning. A reckoning. And I'm so thankful. When my mom passed away in 2014, we cleaned out her house, and under her bed was a big box. It was a flat box, but it was very large. And in Africa, you know, and understand, we went to Africa before there were cell phones. We went to Africa before there was email. All we had was snail mail. And the mail didn't come regular. But what I did is, when I was in Africa, I made a promise to my mother. I said, I will write you every week. And I told her, now sometimes you're not going to get a letter every week because the mail's going to be off and on. And sometimes I won't be able to mail except like once a month, but I'll put four letters together. And after my mom was passed away and buried, and we were cleaning out our house, I pulled out this big box under the bed, and I opened it up, and it was every letter I had written from Africa. She had saved. You understand? I'm glad that I wrote letters to my mother, because someday I'm going to see my mom, and I'm going to see my Lord, and he's going to say, how did you treat your mom? And my mom's going to say, I'll tell you how he treated me. But you understand, my mother's going to be able to say, he demonstrated his love. It's one thing to say, I love my wife. But you understand, if I don't demonstrate it, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Last is this, and then we're done. Stewardship not only is about, all right, recognition, receiving, responsibility, reckoning, but notice if you would, okay, all through here we find this, stewardship is about rewards. Stewardship is about rewards. All right, the Bible teaches, okay, in 1 Corinthians 3 and 2 Corinthians 5, it talks about standing before God, all right? You know, if any man build, you know, for other foundation can no man lay, then that is laid which is Christ Jesus. And so we've got the foundation of Christ Jesus, and we build on that foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble. The Bible says that if we build wood, hay, and stubble, when we stand in the judgment, it's all going to be burned. It's going to be seen for what it is, frivolous. But if you build with wood, hay, and stubble, you lose. You suffer loss. If you build with gold, silver, precious stone, you're going to have a reward. That's what the Bible says. That's why when Jesus called, or when the master called the disciples, the servants, they came forward, and the man said, I've got five. You gave me five. I made five more. And the master said, you know, you've done well with the little things. Now I'm going to make you ruler over many things. enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So you understand? There's more than just this life. Amen. And it's not just, okay, if I do this, Pastor Mark, or if I do this, Pastor Whitman, how much money am I going to have in the bank? You may have nothing in the bank, but God's going to make you ruler over many things. See, it's amazing, you know, where we have this idea that if we don't have a lot of money, it means that God's not prospered us. No, it has nothing to do with that. I mean, I don't have a lot of money in the bank, but I'll tell you what, I never lack. If I need something, it's there. And I love being able to do something for someone else, because people take care of us really well. They do. You know, as missionaries, we go to a church and they provide. I mean, your pastor, when we talk over the telephone, you know, we live 64 miles away. 64 miles. He's willing to put us up in a motel, because he knows Linda's not in the best condition. And he's just like, if it'll make it easier, we'll put you up in a motel. And you know, that's nice. I appreciate that. But we didn't need it. But you understand, God takes care of us. But then our God puts us in a position. He says, now, Mark, I've taken care of you. How about you taking care of somebody else? It's all right. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? It's all right to be nice to somebody. Amen. It's all right. You know, it's nice. It is nice to have somebody, you know, buy your gas. It's nice. But, you know, when was the last time you bought someone else's gas? It's all right to do that. We were in Africa, and we had been in a missions conference, and the pastor had taken good care of us, and it was early Monday morning. We left the motel. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and the pastor was on the road too. And we were at a gas station right outside the city of and we pulled in, and I pumped my gas, and as I was leaving, getting ready to leave, I saw the pastor pull in, and he's outside getting ready to use his credit card. And I ran inside, and I told the man, I said, turn off, don't let the credit card go through out there. I'm going to pay cash. And the pastor's out there trying to put the credit card, you know, he's cussing at the pump, you know, and then, you know, pump wouldn't work. And finally, he comes inside, and I said, Pastor, I said, I am buying your gas. He's like, no, no, no. And I said, yes. I said, you can't steal this blessing from me. So I pumped his gas. We went back to Africa, and there was no fuel to be had. I mean, it was a fuel crisis. And finally, one day, I'm in the fuel line with the church van. You know, they said this gas station's got fuel. And behind me comes the lawyer. Now, the lawyer is Tunji Oyelade. Now, Tunji is a member of our church, and he is the smartest lawyer in Africa. I mean, everybody just calls him the lawyer. And Tunji, he's a deacon in my church. And so we're fellowshipping. And understand, the church bus is out of gas. I'd parked in line, stayed overnight with it, you know, and all day with it. And so it's out of fuel. So when it's our turn to move up, Tunji and me, we push the bus, you know, get behind it and push the bus till it gets there. The guy in front of me is a guy in a Mercedes-Benz. And I'm standing out there, you know, dressed not like a pastor. I've got a T-shirt on. I got sneakers on. I got a pair of blue jeans. You know, and I'm handing out tracts and talking with people and, you know, winning people to the Lord. And Tunji's standing right there. Well, the guy in the Mercedes finally gets his car filled up. We push the bus up. The guy in the Mercedes pulls forward and he stops. He comes back and he looks at the man who's pumping the fuel and he said, I want you to fill Pastor Mark's van. Now understand, the guy was not a member of my church, but he called me Pastor Mark because he knew who I was, because I told everybody who I was. And Tunji, the deacon in my church, he comes up to the guy and says, well, why are you paying for Pastor Mark? He can afford to buy gas. Tunji is a Christian. You know, I looked at Tunji and I said, well, Tunji, I said, when's the last time you bought somebody gas? I said, you want somebody to buy fuel for you? And he's like, yeah. And I said, well, then buy somebody else's fuel. Because stewardship is about rewards. God sees everything you do. You shouldn't be doing stuff to be seen. God sees the little things. You know, when you do a kindness to somebody, when you do the little things like that, and it will come around. Now, understand, if you do something nice today, don't expect something nice to happen tomorrow. You understand? Because sowing and reaping, the guy who plants a seed of corn doesn't go out the next day and expect a stalk with three ears. Oh, yeah, I'm having a corn roast tomorrow. I'm planting the corn today. It doesn't work like that. All right? It doesn't work like that. Stewardship is about rewards. But the rewards come in God's time. And I guarantee you, if you begin this year from this point on and you say, okay, I'm going to do my tithe, I'll do my offering, and I'm going to do missions, and you don't have to tell anybody, but you're going to do it, I guarantee you, you will see by the end of the year, you're going to see the rewards. But don't expect God to, you know, okay, Pastor Mark told me to give $100, and if I give $100, then God's going to give me $1,000. No, I never said that. Because, you know, it may be that God's going to give you the satisfaction of seeing people saved around the world. My wife and I have learned, you know, Paul said it this way. He said, I have learned at whatever state I am, therewith to be content. And he wasn't talking about being in Michigan or Indiana. He was talking about, okay, I have learned to be full, and I've learned to be hungry. But whatever state I am, I'm content. You know why? Because I know I'm doing what God wants. And I'm God's steward. Stewardship is about recognition. Who are you? Are you the boss or is he the boss? Stewardship is about receiving. God's given you something. Stewardship is about responsibility. Because God's given you something, he requires you to do something. Stewardship is about reckoning. Someday you and I are going to give an accounting. And last, stewardship is about rewards. You're either going to suffer loss or have rewards. I don't know. I can't prove this. You know, the Bible says that Jesus said, "There in my Father's house are many mansions." Now, the Bible says that if you and I build with wood, hay, and stubble, we will be saved, but we'll suffer loss. Now, I don't know if that means you're going to have a mansion with no furniture. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. You're going to suffer loss. You're going to lose something. You're going to lose something. And I'm not trying to lay up for myself huge treasures. I'm not going to boast about that because I just know this. I don't know about you. But when it comes to heaven, you read, you know what, Pastor? I want to be able to take a crown off my head and put it at the feet of my God. I want to be able to do that. I don't care if I have furniture in my mansion, but I want to be able to give something to Jesus. How about you? What kind of a steward do you want to be? Father, we thank you for the Word of God. I thank you. These folks have listened so well. Father, we've probably gone a little longer than we should have. And yet, Heavenly Father, I'm thankful that they have stayed. They have listened. They've given me their attention. They've listened to the Word of God. And Father, I pray now that this last meeting on this Sunday, the last Sunday of February 2018, that Father, you might work in our hearts. Father, help us to think just a little bit about stewardship. Father, all that I've said, I pray that you would help us just to be honest with ourselves in this moment. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, just let me ask you one question. Just be honest with yourself. You would be honest with me and say, Pastor Mark, if I were to honestly evaluate my stewardship, I'm thinking that I need to make some improvement. I need God's help to do it. Pray for me. Slip your hand up. All over the auditorium. Now listen, nothing wrong with that, but just raising your hand. Maybe during the invitation, you'll take a few moments and just come down here and you tell God. He already knows, by the way. He already knows. But I think the humbling of ourselves before our Master and just being honest with Him, saying, Lord, I'm not everything I should be. I'm not the kind of steward that I should be, but I want to make a change. It's got to start there. I want to make a change. And Lord, I will change if you will give me help. And I promise you, He will. Father, you've seen our hands. More importantly, as I say every time, you see our heart. You know who we are, Father. And I pray, Father, that you would help us now to make decisions that would honor you. And Father, glorify you. Father, make us the kind of stewards that would bring glory to thee. With our heads bowed and eyes closed still, let's everyone stand, please. The pianist will play. If you need to come, you come right now. You come right now.
Hear my Lord. Send me. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Amen. Appreciate the good preaching and spirit-filled preaching, and are really helpful. I'm glad that you folks were here today to be a part of the whole thing. Amen. I always feel bad when someone misses. I feel they missed the best part this afternoon. But anyway, we do appreciate Mark and Linda. Let me ask you just to be seated for 1 second. We're going to get out of here. We're not having an evening service, so you're off the hook on there anyway. we have designated a nice offering or stipend from our church, but I want to give you a chance if you'd like to give something special as a love offering on top of that. We're going to just take an offering. Do we have plates back there? If we could grab those real quick. And nobody's compelled, nothing. We had planned to take care of this, but I really would like us to take a little love offering for Mark and Linda on top of that. And because I need a full tank of gas. No, not really. Not really. But all right. Come on, gentlemen. We'll take that. Thank you. All right. Luke, would you ask God's blessings on the offering, please? Sure that you get back and again pick up a prayer card and hang around as long as you want. We do have, I think, some if you feel like staying around to take down some tables, don't rush there, but if you'd like to do that, don't forget your food that if you brought, take it back home or the mice will enjoy it. And anyway, so let's do that. And what's that? Thank you. Please put again your email under your address, star by your phone, if it can receive a text, that'll be very helpful for us. All right, we're gonna stand and have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for today. Thank you, Lord, for Mark and Linda, and Lord, you know their whole situation, and I pray that you just give them grace and strength. We pray that you'd bless as with Linda, and Lord, just give doctors wisdom there, and touch her body, give her strength, and Brother Mark with his COPD, Lord, and I pray that you'd continue to bless with the national pastors there, that they might continue to see fruit and safety going back and forth to Nigeria and Ghana. And Lord, we do pray again that you'd send forth laborers in the harvest fields from among us, Lord, that you might call people to give their lives in service for missions. And Lord, we just pray that you'd continue to work in our lives, help us to be those who win others to thee. And Lord, give us grace and strength, fill us with your Holy Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.